You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Morning. Aren't you glad that God is still speaking to us? Aren't you glad that your daily life doesn't need to include confusion, doesn't need to include no direction? Because God is still speaking to us. And this morning I want to speak to you about the ability to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. You know, if we look at someone who is physically strong, say if you can picture Arnold Schwarzenegger, not me obviously, you know, you can imagine the journey that it has taken them to get that way, the process, the weight, and can you imagine the food that they have to eat? I can imagine it being green and more green with maybe a side of protein. But this morning I'm talking about the fact that we have a chance to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. It's what we can do as Christians. Some of us may not know how to do that when we're in times of choice or situations or circumstances that may be seeming overwhelming. But this morning I'm here to encourage you that you can do it. So what does it mean to strengthen ourselves in the Lord? I'm glad you asked that question. It's the ability, despite the circumstances, to align your mind, which then aligns your emotions to the truth of God's word. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to change your perspective, your attitude, and your thoughts. To quieten your mind, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's spending time with God in His presence. Because in His presence, there is fullness of joy. There is no lack with our God. And as we strengthen ourselves in who He is and allow His truth to reign in our hearts and our minds, we will see things change for His glory. You know, it means we actually have to action something. It's just not leaving it up to chance. Oh, I hope this happens. No, we have to do something. But I want to encourage you this morning with the good news that it is doable, that you and I can each do it. It's not left to the greats that we've heard about in the Bible. It's not left to the greats we've heard in the past. But you and I can strengthen ourselves in our mighty God this morning. When we face situations where we may need to make decisions, if we face with difficulties at work or at school or in our personal lives, if we need to decide what is our next step, if we have experienced frustration and disappointment, who here has never experienced frustration or disappointment? Put up your hand. I don't see that hand. We can strengthen ourselves in the Lord. It is doable and it is achievable. And this morning I want to look at the life of David, not because he was perfect, but because he had learnt this very crucial key of strengthening himself in the Lord. And I want to look at two times in his life and from those experiences what he learned about God, which then later helped him on in his life. So the first one I want to look at is David as a shepherd. You know, as a young boy, he was a shepherd attending his father's sheep. You know, a shepherd's main priority was the safety and welfare of the flock that they were over to overlook over, and leading them to areas to eat while avoiding poisonous weeds. Thank goodness for that. And to keep them safe. You know, in the natural, David displayed courage and strength. Back in those days, a shepherd's work was considered the lowest of all works. If a family needed a shepherd, it was usually the youngest that they got to do that job because it was considered an unpleasant job. As we know, David got that job of being the shepherd. So, you know, it's really interesting to note that in Psalm 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I'm so glad Jesus didn't consider the task of coming to earth as too lowly or beneath him. Jesus chose to be our shepherd this morning. He's chosen to take care of you and me, and he wants to protect us because he shows his great love for us because of this. Can you imagine the solitude that David would have faced being the shepherd boy while he was out there doing his job looking after the sheep? You know, I believe this is where he probably developed such a love for his praise and worship to God. Night and day, he was able to spend time with God while he was looking after the sheep. And as we know, he also protected the sheep. And I'm not sure if you've heard of this, but he actually protected them against a lion and a bear, which I'm sure is no easy feat. Now, it says that if you come across a bear, what you need to do is, if it detects you, you need to assess the situation. So can you imagine you see a bear, it's seen you, and then you just need to stop and go, okay, I'm going to assess this situation. What do I need to do? You need to talk to the bear in a very gentle voice. Hi, my name is Rachel. I haven't had my morning coffee yet. Please do not eat me. Then you need to walk away very slowly. And if you see a tree, climb it. Who here would be able to climb a tree in a hurry, let alone talk to a bear in a very calm voice? You're not to run. You just need to keep your eye on the bear and walk away slowly. And if you've got pepper spray, who here cares pepper spray? You're meant to spray the bear with pepper spray. But if the bear does follow you, this is what you can do. This is where you can do a bit of drama. So I'm sure, Jacob, you'd be good at this. You need to act aggressively. Look it straight in the eyes and let you know that you are ready to fight if you need to. Oh, I'm here, I'm going to come and get you. Ah! And you need to stomp your feet and act crazy until the bear gets the message that, you know, all right, this is someone that's seriously in my face right now. And then you can run away, hopefully, and the bear not chase you. So, you know, this is the situation that David was in. You know, it wasn't just something easy to defend and kill, but he did it on behalf of those sheep. He defeated the lion and the bear to protect the sheep. So we know that he knows how to fight. What did David learn through this experience? I believe in God's presence, he learned that there is protection. Even though he was in an obscure environment, God was definitely with him. God is his protector and will protect him and look after him. If something was to happen, he knew that God is, was, and always will be with him. In his journey, he could trust in this truth that there is protection in God's presence. And in Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2, it says this: those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. We can trust in him this morning. You know, whatever you might be going through, you might feel that Geelong is an obscure place for you. But let me encourage you that his presence is here for you, and his protection is with you wherever you go, and you can trust him in your journey. So we can see that during this time of him being a shepherd boy, he learnt to praise and worship his God. And not only that, he loved doing it. And through that experience, he knew that God's peace and protection was with him. So now I want to look at David as the giant killer. I'm sure most of us will be familiar with the story of how he faced Goliath. And in 1 Samuel 17, verses 14 to 15, it says this: David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul out to battle. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So this one particular day, his dad asked him, can you go and take some food to your brothers and to some others, and also just find out how it's all going there? So he arises early in the morning and he sets off. While there, he suddenly hears this loud, booming voice challenging the armies of Israel to send out a man to fight him. And he's thinking, who is this person who was saying these things? And in 1 Samuel 17, 26, it says this: then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? This enemy, through his words and intimidation, had put a reproach on the armies of Israel. Goliath was trying to put disgrace and shame onto the people through his words, but it wasn't theirs to take hold of. David recognized this, that their reproach was not, that reproach was not for them, that disgrace and shame was not theirs to carry. And you know what? That is the same with us. Through the cross, we don't have to carry shame and disgrace anymore. If someone tries to put that on you, let me encourage you, you do not need to take it this morning. I encourage you that shame and disgrace is not for you. Reproach is not yours to wear. Through the power of the cross, you walk in freedom from those things. And David saw that for the children of Israel. Disgrace and shame was not theirs to carry. You know, the good news this morning is David didn't acknowledge Goliath's size or his armor or his weapons. He only acknowledged what the enemy was trying to do to the children of Israel, the armies of Israel. It was more, who is this Philistine, not who is this giant? Who does he think he is? You know, what did he do in this situation? He reminded himself and he reminded the armies of Israel and he let the giant know who it was that would fight him that day, who would bring the victory. He knew enough about God to have confidence in the situation. He had experienced God's protection. He said to Goliath, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." And we see him, because of those words, defeat Goliath. And what did David learn through this experience? I believe he learnt about the powerful ability of God. In his presence, there is power. The power of the Holy Ghost. And this morning, I just want us all to stand as we read out this scripture, because I want to declare it over our lives, our families, and this church. And it's in Exodus 34:10. And it says this, "The Lord replied, 'Listen, I am making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power I will display for you.'" And Lord God, we declare that over every family in this place. Lord God, we declare that over this church, the things that you have already established and the things that you're going to do. We are going to see miracles in this place. We are seeing already the power of Almighty God in this place. And Lord God, we declare it for our families. We declare it for our communities. We declare it over every person in this place, because you have made a covenant with us. And we stand in awe of your presence, your might, your power, your efficiency, and your ability. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do and continue to do in this place. Amen? Amen. Because God is for us, who can be against us? His power is mighty. It is mighty for pulling down strongholds. It is mighty for pulling down things that try and come on your life. His power is for you. And thank goodness we have the Holy Ghost, who is with us, and he is for us. And shame and disgrace do not need to be above your mantelpiece, but I tell you, the power of the Holy Ghost is above your life, is in your life, and working on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may take your seats. Thank you, Lord, that you are and will continue to perform miracles that we haven't seen before. I look forward to it, don't you? For the people around us and in our families and our communities see the mighty God working on our behalf. He didn't lose sight of God's tremendous power, his strength, his might, and his ability to defeat any enemy. This powerful, mighty God who helped him. He came with his mind already set like a steel strap. "This is God in whom I serve, and I know he will fight for me." You know, consider this for a moment. This mighty, powerful giant who was undefeated, wearing so much massive armor and wielding a sword, and had his words that brought intimidation and actually brought fear and immobilized a whole army. Can you imagine that scene? He had a javelin, he had a sword, this giant of a person who had never been defeated. And this mighty giant was defeated by a boy who wore no armor. He carried no shield, he had no sword, and all he had was a sling from being a shepherd. You know, that'd be like sending out Jackson to fight the Goliath this morning. Go, Jackson. But that is God's almighty power. That is God's almighty power. Now, we don't have to have all these things around us. You know what we do need to have is the Word of God and the truth of who He is and what we can do in His power and His might, because we have the Holy Spirit within us. And this morning, I want to encourage you that you can fight, that you can see those things come down in your life and in your family's life. And you do have the power of the Holy Ghost within you to see miracles take place. You don't need to have all those things. You do not need to be intimidated, but you can stand strong in who your God is this morning, knowing that He is for you and not against you. That is God's great power, that He takes what seems to be ordinary and smashes the great. Aren't you glad that you can smash the what seems to be great in the eyes of other people, knowing who your God is this morning? And then consider this. In a space of a few seconds, the destiny of a whole nation had internally changed. By us believing in God and His mighty power, we too can have the same influence in our families, in our workplaces, bringing people to church. Can you imagine it? When you bring people to church, and we've seen it happen so many times, their eternity is changed because they have an encounter with Almighty God. And that's what you and I can do as we stand in who our God is, knowing who He is, that He is for us and not against us. We can see people's lives change, families change, communities change because of the mighty, powerful God that we serve. Aren't you glad about that? David had an understanding of God's protection and God's mighty power, and no wonder he praised and worshipped God. You know, and some years later, David is faced with a very distressing situation. And we see this in 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 8. And it says this: "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, I won't say their names, and Nahum and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, 'Please bring the ephod here to me.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?' And he answered him, 'Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all.'" You know, as you can really clearly imagine, the men, everyone was devastated by this turn of events. You know, they come back from fighting and they see that their women, their wives, and the children had all been taken away and everything had been burnt to the ground. So no wonder they were devastated. They were in shock. They were grief-stricken. And, you know, what was the men's response during this time? You know, after they, I'm sure, cried because of the distress of it all, the grief of it all, they turned on David and there was talk of stoning him. And David was distressed as well, as you can imagine, and he was definitely feeling all the same emotions that they were feeling. But this was a defining moment for David. He could have said, okay, well, you know, it's done, there's nothing else I can do about it. He could have said, well, you know, maybe this is a time not to really trust in God, or he could have hung his head and go, oh, well, woe is me. But thank goodness he didn't do any of those things. Instead, what did he do? He strengthened himself in the Lord. He found strength in the Lord his God. You know, I am greatly distressed and my men are against me, but I will strengthen myself at this time. He did something with God that took him from despair to confidence in God. You know, I imagine him getting alone with God at this time and, you know, having a cry as would be normal for what's just happened. But then I imagine him beginning to praise and worship his God. Yes, this terrible thing has happened, and I don't know what to do from here, but it will never, ever change who you are, God, in my life. And because of that, I will praise and I will worship you. I will acknowledge your greatness. I will acknowledge your goodness. I will acknowledge your protection and your peace and your presence. And right now, I need you, Holy Spirit. I need your presence. So I will wait on you for you to come and speak to me. All I can do right now is praise and worship and wait. I need your presence, mighty God. This situation is distressing. This situation is overwhelming. This situation is, I don't know what I am going to do. The men are talking of stoning me. God, what do I do? All I can do right now as I take this time to strengthen myself is wait on you and praise and worship you. Right now, I make the decision that I'm acknowledging who you are, mighty God. The situation, yes, it's awful. My wives are gone. The children have gone. The fire has destroyed everything. I'm maybe going to be stoned right now, but right now, mighty God, I acknowledge who you are in my life. The truth of who you are, that you are for me, that you're not against me, that your presence and your protection is with me. I may not see the answer straight away. I may not see the situation change straight away, but right now, I acknowledge who you are. And that is a powerful key for you and I this morning, that as we strengthen ourselves in our Lord, as we take that time, because it is taking that time to be in his presence, acknowledging who you are. You know, something happened to me during this week and I wasn't sure what to do about it. You know, the doctor says this, and then I have people saying this to me, and then there could be my perception on this, and it might be my take on this. What do I do, mighty God, in this situation? I need to strengthen myself in who you are, because you are God and you are for me and not against me. You are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And right now, I take this time to acknowledge your greatness and your goodness, because no matter what happens in your life, those things will never change. God will always be good. God will always be great. God will always be love. God will always be peace. God will always be protection. His presence is with you. And I want to encourage you, one of the things that you can do to strengthen yourself in the Lord, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. I may not even feel like I've got the words. But you know what? Even if all you say is, God, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Right now, I just acknowledge that truth. I just acknowledge the power of that situation. I just acknowledge your blood that was shed for me. I thank you that I am now saved. I thank you that now I have eternal life. I thank you that I have the ability to say that to other people. I'll acknowledge you through my words. I will acknowledge you through my actions. And I'm going to acknowledge you through my praise. Because you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy to be praised, to be honoured and to be acknowledged for all he's done in our lives. You know, I thank God that I have parents who brought me up in the ways of the Lord, but some of you guys may not have had that. But you know what? You can still acknowledge God, because you know what? Your family who's made you what you are today. And you can still say, God, I thank you for the strength that I've learnt. I can thank you for what I've come through, because it's your glory that is going to be seen through this situation. Acknowledge our God this morning, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. And we acknowledge you this morning for all you've done in our hearts and our lives. Can you imagine David doing that right then and there? I'm in despair, but I acknowledge you. I'm in grief, but my goodness, I'm going to acknowledge you. This is a distressing situation, but I acknowledge you. I don't know which way to turn, but I acknowledge you. I don't know what direction to take right now, but I acknowledge you. You are good. You are great, and you are for me. Thank you, Lord, that we can acknowledge him this morning. And David took the time to do this. Thank goodness he did. Thank goodness he did. And you know what? It may take you time to do that, but I tell you right now, the blessings that come out of you waiting and acknowledging on God, I tell you, outweighs the circumstances. Okay. Here's the circumstances, and here's me having to wait on God. Circumstances that are weighing me down, or waiting on my God and acknowledging who he is. Let me tell you, this one has to outweigh this one every time. Because we know that he will make our path straight. We know that he will give us the direction that we need to go. All we need to do is acknowledge him, acknowledge who he is, and that is how we begin to get strength in our hearts, strength in our spirit, and strength in our emotions. The second thing is he had to decide which voice he was going to fight to hear, people or God's. To David, it didn't matter how long this process took. He didn't allow the men's grief and the anger to stop him from spending time with God. He needed to think clearly and not make a decision out of confusion or emotion. This is something that is good for each one of us to learn as we strengthen ourselves in God. You know, I don't want to make decisions out of emotion. How many times have I done that and got myself into trouble? You know, out of emotion, do I eat this big block of chocolate or do I go for a run? Because I know which one's going to benefit me more. Is it the chocolate? Ooh, or is it the run? Oh, which one's going to help me? Yes, that's right. So I make that decision out of emotion. Oh, I'm just going to sit on the chair and comfort myself with chocolate. Oh, I'm not going to go strengthen myself with physical activity. No, he took the time to sit back and go, God, I'm waiting on you because I do not want to make this decision out of emotion. And I know chocolate's a funny thing to laugh about, but you know what? We've all done it. Let's be honest. We've all made decisions out of emotion. But this is one way that we can strengthen ourselves as a body of believers is to go, you know what? I'm going to take a step back right now because I know right now this is a crucial point in my life and I need to make the right decision. Not only for me, because it's not always about us, even though it is about us, but it's also for the generations that are coming after us. You know, I want people to be able to go, you know what, I'm glad Rachel made that decision back there because then I could use that as a testimony for my life. And you know what, the things that we do, the decisions that we make, when we say, God, I'm not going to base this decision out of emotion right now, but I am going to base it out of the truth of who you are in my life. You know what, that is a powerful testimony for other people to follow that come after you or hear about what's happened in your life. Let me encourage you, do not make decisions out of emotion, but always come back, God, what is it that you want me to do in this situation? I'm going to take the time because I right now know that this point right now in my life is crucial to make the right decision. And yes, exercise is the right decision. He knew that a wrong choice could get more people killed. He needed to see his heart shift from doing his own will to doing God's will in this situation. And in Isaiah 30, 21, this powerful scripture, it says this, your ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go. Thank goodness he tells us the way we should go. Right now, I'm taking off emotion. Right now, I'm taking off grief. Right now, I'm taking off distress. Right now, I'm taking off hunger. Right now, I'm taking off all those things that can affect what I do. But right now, I come to you, mighty God, and say, I know that my ears will hear the truth of what you're saying. I know that your voice will be clear in my mind, and I will hear you say, this is the way you should go. We need to fight for it. We need to fight for hearing God's voice in our life. Well, I don't want to be swayed by what people say to me. I don't want to be swayed by what my friends say to me. I don't want to be swayed by what my workmates say to me. Because if it's not based on God's truth, then I don't want to hear it. But you know what I do want to hear? I want to hear the voice of Almighty God saying to me, Rachel, my beloved servant, because I know you love me so much, this is the way you should go. And that's what he says to each one of you, because he loves you so much. This is the way you should go. Walk ye in it because it's going to bring you peace. It's going to bring you protection. It's going to bring you safety. You thought that decision over there was going to bring you safety. But right now, God's voice is crying out to you saying, this is the way you should go. This is the way that's going to bring you protection. This is the way that's going to bring you strength. This is the way that's going to bring you might to defeat the enemy. His disgrace that he tries to put in you, his shame that he tries to put in you, as you just acknowledge our mighty God and say, God, what direction? He will tell you the direction because it's for your benefit. It's for your protection. and it's for your safety. Walk ye in it. Walk ye in it. Walk ye in it. Because he loves and he cares for you so much. Fight this morning to hear his voice, because it will bring strength into your spirit, and it will bring strength into your mind, and it will bring strength into your emotions. Fight to hear God's voice, because when you do, it changes everything. When you do, it changes your circumstances. It changes your attitude. It changes your perspective. You know, the situation may not change like that, but I tell you, your attitude and your perspective and your heart to your God will change because you've heard his voice. Fight, fight, fight to hear his voice this morning. Choose to listen to his voice in your situation. Strengthen yourself in his almighty presence. Strengthen yourself in who he is. You know, emotional strength might look different to everyone else, but let me encourage you, it's what God wants for each one of us. Emotional strength, so that we can make the right decisions. And yes, David experienced much joy, and he experienced pain, and he experienced all sorts of things in his journey. But let me tell you, one of the keys in his life was he knew how to strengthen himself in the Lord. He chose to hear and declare God's truth in that situation, which led to victory. From this, he strengthened his confidence in God. He got insight into the situation and God spoke to him. He received God's word and God's strategy for the situation. And that's what we need, God's strategy. Instead of saying, why did these things happen? He made the decision to go, God, what are you wanting me to do in this situation? His ears heard the Almighty God. The voice said to him, this is the way you should go. Was to follow the Amalekites and overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went with his men. You know, the good news this morning is his decision to strengthen himself turned his men around, and not only affected his life but affected his men's life that were with him, because there was no more talk of stoning him. Instead, they rallied with him to go and defeat the Amalekites so they could get back all that had been taken from them. His time with God affected them, and God's word impacted their lives as well. And his decision to strengthen himself in God also allowed him to bring strength to others. And on their journey to recover all, it says that his men found an Egyptian man who they were also able to strengthen. So you can see that your decision to follow God, your decision to acknowledge God, your decision to strengthen yourself in Almighty God and fight to hear his voice not only affects you but affects others around you and will change their direction as well. And in 1 Samuel 30 verses 18 to 19 it says this: So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had been taken from them. David recovered all. Aren't you glad this morning that through him strengthening himself, they recovered all that had been taken away from them? You know, some of you this morning may be facing difficulties or situations that you're not sure what to do, and you need to make decisions. Let me encourage you, take the time to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Take the time to acknowledge who he is. Praise and worship him. Just spend that quiet time with him. And God, what is it that you're wanting me to do? And I believe without a shadow of doubt that your ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way that you should go. Let's all just stand in his presence.
It's a powerful message this morning for many of us. For many of us. Where does our strength come from? Where does our hope come from? Strengthening ourselves in the Lord. You know, if you're in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus personally, for this message to be powerful in your life, first of all, you need Jesus. You need salvation. That is where your power comes from. That is where your strength comes from. He who makes us strong. And so if you don't know him personally this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to do so. Whether you're in this room this morning or you're watching online, just an opportunity to know Jesus personally. It says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. That is true for each and every single one of us today. Acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Believe that God raised him from the dead. We'll be saved. And so for everyone in this place this morning, everyone watching this morning, if that's something that you need to do, you need to acknowledge that Jesus died on a cross so that your sins could be forgiven and you could step into a new life and relationship with God. If that's you, just with everyone's eyes closed for a moment, on the count of three, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to a relationship with God. On the count of three, I just want you to begin putting your hand up. If you're at home, put your hand up. One, two, three. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, yeah, that's me. I want to follow Jesus. I need him. Yes, awesome. Thank you. Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. Is there anyone else today? Say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. Awesome, thank you. Is anyone else? If you're at home, you've done that. I acknowledge the fact that you've done that this morning. I just want us to pray a prayer this morning, a prayer of salvation. If you put your hand up, pray this prayer powerfully this morning. Church, why don't you join me in praying this prayer together? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross, that you died, were buried, and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I surrender my life. I repent of my sins. And this day, I choose to follow you. Thank you, God. I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Greatest prayer you could ever pray. Can we just have a praise moment this morning for people that responded to Jesus? We praise you, God. We praise you, God. You're so good, God. Awesome. Awesome. You know, if you raised your hand this morning, we don't want your journey to stop there. We want to walk with you as you walk with Jesus. We want to help you be discipled in the ways of Jesus. And so there's a couple of ways that we help you do that. If you're watching at home, up on your screen at the moment, there'll be a website address, gc.org.au/first steps. It's got all the information about how to follow Jesus, how to contact us so that we can get in contact.